You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen with Spinneys.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Have you ever dreamt about opening your own restaurant? Is there a dish you make really well and think, do you know what? The world deserves to eat this on a grand scale. Well, you might need a grand scale of budget, because what we're talking about this afternoon is the cost of opening a restaurant. Gabrielle Mather joining us, the co-founder and CEO of Restaurant Secrets Inc. She heads a team of restaurant consultants and business incubators here in the UAE. They've been around for 20 years, serving more than 300 brands. Gabrielle, before we dive in and talk money, I obviously want to know what your favourite condiment is. what would you take to a desert island to make all of that, you know, fish and coconut, you know, just taste a bit more like home?
Hi, Helen. Thank you for having me on the show.
Pleasure.
Would it be a tropical island then? Mm. And a lot of fish around? That would be my favourite thing.
Yeah.
Definitely salt.
Yes. You're not alone. Some good sea salt.
Yes.
Okay.
So salt, lime. I think that's it. That would do
for me. Totally tropical.
Yeah.
Now, we've spoken on the show before about what it takes to succeed. And we're going to be speaking to Reith Othman just after 3 o'clock, who is an incredible chef who is actually expanding right now, kind of bucking that trend, actually, as opposed to lots of restaurants closing. So let's dive right in and talk about money. Let's say you have a dream of opening a restaurant in Dubai. How much do you need to have in the bank?
Great. I'm sure you believe me when I tell you that's the first question we get when people call us for consultations on opening restaurants. And you know what? Every time I try to answer that, there is no straightforward answer. But over the years, we've realized that there is a kind of a standard budget that you can't do without. And that relates to your CapEx, right? What would you need to do build, to do a good design and to get things rolling out? We've just recently published an article on this, and the three basic kind of restaurants that we get a lot of inquiries on are the simple, straightforward, mom and pops kind of one unit that someone can open and operate with, let's say, 40, 50 seats, a good fare with, you know, focus menu of 20 items. To put something like that up in, let's say, 1,500, 2,000 maximum square feet of space, could take you back right up to 2 million dirhams if you want to do it right. And I highly recommend that we do it right and have the budget and do it right. Because you see, the reason why things are closing down is because people start with small budgets, with a huge dream, but without an awareness that the dream is competing with very big concepts, very, very amazing things coming up. Mm-hmm. So I would start right. And if that is a dream, and if you've got 2 million dirhams disposable with you, go ahead and open a full service restaurant, a smallish one, somewhere nice, put in a good interior, put in some good food, and a good ambience. If you don't have that kind of money, then I would say settle in for a hole in the wall. And, you know, post pandemic, we've been seeing a lot of that. We've been seeing people go very basic, back to focus menus, you know, smaller product line, but really hard-hitting flavors, great service, nice location, deliveries, you know, coming out of the space in different areas. That would be easily doable in a million, 200,000, if you really want to go with a good marketing budget. And if you don't have... Sorry.
No, I've just got a big smile on my face just thinking, that's so much money.
I thought you were going to say you want to start one.
Oh, listen, my dream of the Helen Farmer Heinz tomato soup and cheese toasty food truck lives on. And one day it will be realised, Gabrielle.
But I will see you then.
But as you say, you know, you're talking about marketing costs there. And I feel like there are so many things that just because you have a dream and you love eating out and you love good food, you might not necessarily have all of the knowledge to actually make this happen. You know, what are some of the other considerations, you know, the questions that you need to ask yourself before you actually venture into the F&B scene and quit your full-time job?
Absolutely. And that's another thing that people think, that it's the easiest thing to do. So, for example, I cook great food. My mom cooks great food. So let's go open a restaurant. That's the main motivator, unfortunately, even now. So for me, it's a business. It's a hardcore business. You're getting out of the kitchen now and you're competing with the world. You're competing in a market that is used to eating well, is used to getting great service, is used to getting a whole entertainment experience while going out. So first of all, resilience. I would say that's the first thing. As an entrepreneur, any business is challenging. It's not just the food and beverage business. If you don't get that, that this is going to require operations, it's going to require leadership. You're going to have to motivate young people to come into work on their feet so many hours a day. You're going to have to meet a product that competes with what the market is offering, is Instagrammable. You have great content. You've got a great someone that is a whiz at marketing and putting out exactly the kind of tone of voice that people want to hear you express your brand in. And if you don't have a great location, if you don't have a website that goes with it. So there's a lot of details. We've left those days behind where we needed in this part of the world concepts that are just simple, great food, and go eat it and go home and eat it again. No, now it's more of entertainment. It's more of let's go out. We've got so many choices. So I would say if you are planning on doing this, either you do it right and you build in every single pillar of the business, just like any other hardcore business, come up with a great product, have a menu that doesn't just look great, but also tastes great, cost right, get the right price point, get the right service, make sure that you have a plan in place to be a part of your restaurant. I feel that's another area where people feel that I'll get a manager, I'll get a chef, mm-hmm. and they'll run it. No, you need to be on top of your business. You've got to be the first one in the line of, you know, the first in line of fire when things go wrong. You've got to be there, at least in the first year, being part of watching things as they go along and fixing things as they go along.
Gabrielle, you know, where I live, which is just kind of off Beach Road, I often see signs in kind of restaurant windows saying opening soon, and we go and closing soon after. And I just wondered if you, as an industry insider, can go into a cafe or a restaurant, you know, grab a coffee, have a meal, and look around and go, you're not going to be here in 3 months' time, or. And then conversely, go, do you know what, they've got it going on. This is a goodie.
Yeah, you see, we get a lot of those inquiries too, where we go and audit people and help them understand what's wrong. Mm-hmm. It would be very presumptive to say that I can sit down there, have a cup of coffee and tell someone what's wrong. I wouldn't do that. I would want to go in deep and understand, because sometimes what you're looking at are just symptoms to a deeper problem. It could be waste management. It could just be that they're doing really well. People love the place. It's full, and yet it's not making money. So we get a lot of those too. The ones who close down are not necessarily those that are empty. Sometimes and you've seen with big closures, we sometimes tell each other, what happened? They used to be busy. I love that place. Why is it closed down? It's because there's a lot of things at the back of a business that people ignore, and they just go for the look and feel of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So for me, yes, there are times when I go in and I can tell you, obviously this is bad service, or obviously the food does not taste great. I don't feel satisfied and you won't last very long. But I would like to go deeper, and that's what we do with our clients. We go deeper. We look at every single pillar, including the financials, their wastage management, because that's a big area where you could be selling a lot, but you could also be losing a lot in your fridges, in your shelves. So there's many different reasons why somebody could fail. It could just be a great product but bad location, or a great location but you're not competing with the right product. It could be great service all around, but your menu is not hitting the mark, or the price point's not. There's so many reasons. But you're right. There are many times when I've actually gone into a place and asked for the owner and left a card and said, just give me a call. You know, let's just talk and see, because it's a shame if something like this does not work.
I couldn't agree more. And you know, some of my favorite places do have that personal touch. It's someone who has been there from the beginning and built it from the ground up, and is there as, you know, the front line, taking feedback, good and bad. Conversely, sometimes you do have these vanity projects. You think, I don't want to know how much you've spent on decor on this place, and it is rubbish. But you clearly are thinking about, where would I want to go? You know, where do I want my friends to be seen? What's going to photograph well? And everything else has been completely forgotten. When you have someone come to you and they've got a concept in mind, maybe it's specific cuisine, do you feel like sometimes you go, there are enough chicken places on Beach Road? Or I really feel like, you know, I mean, for a while it was like, you know, Burger Alley. There are about 14 different places, and now it feels like it's chicken. You know, do you feel like you've got your finger on the pulse when it comes to knowing what's missing, perhaps, from the Dubai dining scene?
Yeah, that's a good one. The chicken part itself. Yeah, just yesterday I actually consulted someone who wants to open up a fried chicken place. Helen, there are certain things that will always work. For example, chicken, burger, pizza. You know, there are certain things we know work in the market, but then there is a saturation point. So to be able to tell someone that, you know, let's come in with a chicken or a burger place, there has to be a why to the what. Why do we need another chicken place? What would be the difference in that? Because chicken is a great staple. People will buy it. It's proven. We've got numbers. We've got reports that prove that. But when something is oversaturated and you're just dumping more, our market can't handle it anymore. We have a small population and we've got a restaurant at every corner. So if you're competing with a burger or a pizza, there has to be a USP. There has to be a brand positioning. There has to be a target market. There has to be the why why are we opening another pizza restaurant or another burger? So yes, there are areas in the market where people come in and they ask me that, can we do this? And we say, you know, let's do some research. Let's find out. Let's do a SWOT analysis. Let's find out what's really missing. Why don't we bring in something new? Why don't we bring in something that's trending somewhere else? And we know our people are well traveled and it would hit all the right spots. And sometimes we just say, you know what? Yes, let's do another burger, but let's do it like this. This is what's missing. But again, everything requires a lot of research. So we do a lot of feasibility studies. We look at budgets. We look at locations. We look at target market. And only then we consult a person on what that product should be. We've done almost every kind of cuisine. We've done almost every kind of product, but it all comes from some time spent on a feasibility. I would say make your mistakes on paper rather than go and put your money, you know, into those things.
Very wise indeed. Gabrielle, I'm going to ask you to get your crystal ball out and ask, what kind of trends are we seeing dining worldwide that we could be seeing coming to Dubai over the coming years? What any specific types of dishes or specific cuisines even?
Well, vegan. Vegan is coming in a big way. We're working on a few brands right now where people are realizing that it's something that can go across different target audience without going OTT. So vegan in a way that feels real, you know, food that feels real is what I feel is coming back. I also feel that people are going to be healthier now, especially with post-pandemic. We can see that we're getting a bit more conscious about our lives. So, again, we want our food to taste great. Dubai is a lifestyle city. We want things to look great. We want to look great ourselves. We want to feel great when we go out, and our food needs to match that. I believe that. And if anybody does anything, any kind of food, it needs to hit the mark there where if I'm eating something healthy, I need to look good too. So I think good-looking, healthy food is something we're going towards. We've done a lot of trends of small bites, and that's, people love it, you know. In this part of the world, we love the meze tapas kind of a table where we can order so many things and share it. So sharing tables is something that is really here to stay in this part of the world. We're getting a lot of brands that come in and want us to help them with developing international flavors, again, in small plates that people can share. I think these are the main trends that I see right now. We've done all our blacks and, you know, the carrots, and we're a very trend conscious market,
we are,
as you can
and we've
see.
Got, and we've got a really short attention span. So we do love,
yes, we
love
do.
The new yeah. places, but there's always got to be a reason to go back. Gabrielle, thank you so much for your insights. I really hope that's given anyone some food for thought who was thinking about a change of career, a side hustle. If they've got the money in the bank, they need your expertise as well. And you can find Gabrielle Mather, the co-founder and CEO of Restaurant Secrets, Inc.
You're listening to Farmer's Kitchen with Spinneys.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.